The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, restoring honor after a family calamity.
She said, as part of our culture, she said, many of our people believe in a lucky house. There's the unlucky house, but then you need to keep moving around until you find your lucky house. Well, you know, Keith and I have lived in the same house for 26 solid years. It's been lucky, unlucky, and everything in between.
Family Calamity and Restoration, next on Life Today.
Thank all of you, and we welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I are thrilled that we can present Wednesdays with Beth. Now, I think most of you who watch the program know that we want to give water to the thirsty and food to the hungry. And we really believe that one of the greatest mission outreaches we have is Beth Moore, Wednesdays with Beth, because she gives water to people who are so thirsty. I want to mention something that the book Indivisible, you know, we're grateful that it became a New York Times bestseller within a week. Reached the top of nearly every list. And the thing I want you to understand is that if you want to know how to pray about the concerns that we have for our nation and for people in need, people who may need a job or opportunities or need a need met, and you want our nation to be a bright, shining city set on a hill, here is a blueprint for restoration of everything that's precious. I really believe that it's as important as anything I've done in my 50-year ministry. And I'm encouraging you not only to read it, but encourage all of the leaders in business, in churches, wherever you are, to get a copy of it, and let's focus our prayers on the very real concerns that we have for others and for our own family. Get Indivisible. Begin to pray with us, and let's see the healing of our land. Here is Beth Moore, and she's talking about family, about calamities that come, and about the restoration. By the way, Indivisible is about restoring faith, family, and freedom before it's too late. Here's Beth.
There's been a little girl in my life. She's 7 years old, and she stood in front of me for a long, long time before I really knew her as intimately as I do now. She was right in front of me in her father's arms. Her parents used to bring her into the service for the worship time, and then they would take her to the nursery when they started the sermon. Well, she was right in front of me, and her daddy would hold her, and her little face would be looking back at me. Well, I'm done then. I'm done. Because I cannot resist that. Especially she would wear shoes and I'd be able to point to those shoes and go, oh yeah, oh yeah, those are some good shoes. The cutest thing you have ever seen, and fearfully and wonderfully made, because when God made this particular child, she is the, I'm telling you, one of the cutest little girls you've ever seen in your life. And so fearfully and wonderfully made that she has a full hand on one side and a hand that's a little bit shorter on the other side. But let me tell you, you never even notice it once you are caught up in that contagious personality. So I've known this child all her life. And here recently, I had the opportunity to go back when she was about to be baptized and put a little necklace around her neck for her to be baptized in, and then got to go over to her house afterwards and celebrate it with her. And for some unknown reason, these little girls just accept me, this middle-aged woman, old enough to be some of their grandmothers. And they accept me. And so a couple of weeks ago, she brought me a present to church. And this was it. Maybe some of you have seen those places. It's called Build-A-Bear, where you can go and put it together. She put it together with her own two hands, which has very special significance to me. And I want you to hear part of her letter. Miss Beth, that's what they all call me. I love you, Miss Beth. You are the best, and I mean that. Miss Beth, you can get your present. I built it, this was my favorite part, I built it so you would be thrilled. I mean, she knew. She was waiting for me to have a reaction, she said. She said this, I knew you will be shocked, and she spells it all phonetically, because she just couldn't wait. She said, I knew you since I was a baby. And then half of the page from that point on goes, I love you so much, so much, so much, so much, so much. I was so stricken. I knew that what she needed me to do was jump up and down. And I did do some of that. But I burst out in tears. And I got down on my knees and looked, she's a tiny little thing, and looked in her face and said, Abigail, I know it is hard to understand why Miss Beth is crying right now over your present, but I am so happy. I said, how could I be so blessed that you would love me? Why in the world would you have decided to love this middle-aged woman that you might never have even noticed? He can set the lonely in families. She will never, I mean, this wasn't pearls before swine. Nobody has given me a stuffed animal in years, but I got me one. I got me one, built with her own two hands. The love of family, the love of family. When I looked at the little sheet that they fill out, the birth certificate, they have a birth certificate for the bear. It gives the date of birth, it tells all about who you're giving it to, and I looked at the name, and the name is Grace. Yes. Just Grace. Just Grace. I want to end you with this one. Number 7 is this. Christ can bring honor back to the family. Christ can bring honor back to the family. We began with this point weeks ago. Any family can have calamity, but every single family, be it the family of God, a family of origin, your present family unit, every family can have their honor back in Christ because that's what He came to do. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to have to explain why to Abigail that this many women also cried over her wonderful gift. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You know, as you're turning there, I want to say something to you, and it's just now pressing on my heart, so I'm going to believe that God had this moment planned. We so often think, they just know I love them. They know I love them. I knew she loved me because, you know, she hangs out with me so much. But when she wrote it, I love you so much, so much, so much, so much. It just about slayed my heart. Tell them. I know that you think they know it. They know it. Tell them. I tell them every day. Tell them again today. Tell them again today. Get them right in the eye and say, I love you so stinking much. I love you so much. I love you so much. For some of you, it's been a long, long time since you've heard those words. You can hear it today. I love you so, so much. Jesus says, I love you so, so, so. Maybe He would even say, stinking much. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. That's all we have to hear. Notice the lineage and where it begins. Jesus Christ comes into this lineage that began with Abraham. Well, we know the dysfunction in Abraham's family. We know his failure. We know what it resulted in. We know of all the brokenness. We know of all the faithlessness. And yet the promise of God was kept. And then David, who has ever made a bigger mess of his life and a bigger mess of his family than David himself, the man after God's own heart. You'd think he would have known better of all people. But Jesus Christ shows up in the middle of that family line and He redeems the whole thing. All it takes for God to redeem your entire family line is for Him to bring healing to you, to you. He, when He appears in your family, He brings dignity back to the whole thing because you were willing to be the one link in the chain that chose to be free in Him. Honor. Honor. All he has to do is show up in a line, and he wins it. I want you to conclude with me in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Anybody so glad to be in God's Word today? Is there anything like Him? Just nothing like Him. Hebrews 2, verses 5 through 13. These words are going to sound familiar because we just saw them a little while ago if you were part of that session where we looked at Psalm 8. Listen to these words. In Hebrews 2, verse 5, it is not to angels that He has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified. We saw that place. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. And bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Verse 11, see it with your whole heart. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So the one who made us holy and we who have been made holy are all of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He said in verse 12, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Somebody needs to know today that Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you sister. Even after all you've been through, even after all you've done, if you will trust Him for that redemption, if you will trust Him for that healing, if you will trust Him to bring meaning out of that disaster, He will show you He has never been ashamed of you. I'm so ashamed of myself. I'm so ashamed of myself. You know what? The time has come to receive your dignity back. This is the day of your deliverance. This is the day when He comes to bring us beauty instead of our ashes. This is the day we can have our honor back. I told you earlier about the young Vietnamese woman that I know. She said something to me that very day that I also keep thinking about. She was talking about some friends of hers that live in a small place, but she said, it's not their lucky house. It's not their lucky house. And I said, now, what exactly is a lucky house? Well, that's where you live that good things happen to you. And she said, as part of our culture, she said, many of our people believe in a lucky house. There's the unlucky house, but then you need to keep moving around until you find your lucky house. Well, you know, Keith and I have lived in the same house for 26 solid years. It's been lucky, unlucky, and everything in between. You don't live that long in one place that you have not ridden every kind of conceivable fright ride. I mean, we have ridden it. We've had all sorts of problems, raised our children in that house. And I thought to myself, there ain't no lucky house. But there's the house that God builds. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Isn't it a beautiful thing that Jesus is a carpenter by trade? Isn't it a beautiful thing? Because no matter how the winds and the storms have come to tear your house down, Jesus Christ is a carpenter by trade, and He really will rebuild it if we'll let Him. The Word of God says that we are being built into a spiritual house, living stones. He can bring a stone back to life. He can bring you back to life. I've testified to you a number of times through the years of some of the pain that Keith and I come out of. Ours was very different, but both devastating in their own ways. In fact, I'm not sure it gets more devastating than what our two families have gone through. I was in a family of a tremendous hurt where some abuses happened, many of which I can't be completely forthright about, but trust me, it was tremendously difficult. And almost maddening. It's the kind of thing that could just drive you over the edge, and some of you know what I'm talking about. My husband, on the other hand, comes from a background of tremendous tragedy and loss. When he and his brother were little bitty boys, his older brother was 3 and Keith was 2, they were playing in the garage, and somehow his brother got a hold of that gasoline can, poured out gas in the floor, it rolled right under that water heater, and it set that whole garage on fire and just exploded in a puff of flames and smoke. And when my father-in-law ran into the room in order to save them, he just looked for the first one that moved and then went after the other. And within just a couple of days, Keith's older brother passed away. And you can only imagine what kind of tragedy and what kind of questions they've asked themselves and all they've gone through to wrestle with it and to try to somehow come to grips with purpose out of that kind of pain. I've never seen a family go through more than this family has been through. But the most interesting thing has happened lately. Keith has got several sisters that have got children, and they're all wonderful children. I told my father-in-law not too long ago, I said, you know, like you're batting 1,000 on your grandchildren. I mean, these are fantastic grandchildren. And two of these boys, one sister has 2 boys that are already young adults. They're both college age. And just here recently, the younger one of the two has just completed his training to become a real life fireman. And I said, I said, does anybody get this besides me? Because in this family, because we're all really, really proud of him, I said, no, we're not just proud of him. Does anybody see any redemption here? Because literally the fires of hell came licking up to completely destroy that family. And 3 generations later, we got us a firefighter on our hands. I mean, I got chills all over my arms. I mean, like, what is that? What is that? The words of Micah 7, verse 8, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. You may have knocked me down, but you better be on alert. I'm about to get up. I am about to get up. This is the day of somebody's resurrection. He's calling your name, Lazarus. Come forth. You can sit in that tomb, or you can get up and go to your redemption. Would you pray with me? You're just it, Lord. For most of us, it wasn't a literal fire that came to destroy our families, but we have known the scorching flames. And we have been victims of the fires of hell for too long, Lord. And I ask you this day, in Jesus' name, to raise up firefighters in our families. Come, redeem what the locusts have eaten. In the wonderful, delivering, powerful, saving name of Jesus.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
You know, if you sit in, as Beth said, the tomb or some pit of defeat, you know, what a waste of time when you've got resurrection power and the restoring of God's grace. Father, I pray, as Beth did, for everyone that's been touched by the truth she shared in Jesus' name. You know, Betty, our viewers are the greatest encouragers, not only to us, to Beth, but to all the missionary workers. And everything that God puts on our heart and we have a very real care about, you, because of the care you have, enable us to share so effectively that it totally changes people's future, not only on earth, but forever. What you're going to see is a tremendous need that you, our viewers, inspired us to be a part of because you saw the need to rescue precious lives. Watch closely. Listen to the concern that you'll be able to identify with.
Saru, a mother of four daughters, has experienced the unimaginable, having a child kidnapped and trapped by a sex slave trader. Geeta, her oldest daughter, was taken from her home by a human trafficker, drugged, tortured, raped, and forced into sex slavery against her will. But by the grace of God, she eventually escaped during a police raid and was able to make her way back home. The horror of what happened to Geeta weighs on Saru's mind constantly. When will they come again? Who will be the next child I lose to these monsters? The only bright spot left in Saru's life are her children and grandchildren. And out of desperation, Saru has asked a most courageous question. Will you please take my children and grandchildren and put them in a safe place?
It's just hard to imagine. Will you take my children and my grandchildren? Now, wait a minute. Will you take my children so that they're not vulnerable, so that they're not trafficked and used? Suffer the little ones to come unto me. And forbid them not. Jesus, would you please provide the loving arms, the helping hands, the home to be an answer to that very sincere request? With your help, we're going to build a life center in Nepal, an impoverished area where children are taken and literally made to be sex slaves. We want to build a beautiful life center. The missionaries have confirmed, and we know it's so, an average of $128 to rescue a child or a woman from the sex trade. Would you make that gift today? Would you go to the phone, take your bank card, and make that gift, knowing that it's going to be doubled? You help rescue one. You make a gift of $128. Think about it. And you've got two. And this is the last week for Rescue Life in this emphasis. Would you help? The Life Center, I'm asking you very directly to make gifts of $1,000 or more. We're going to have $250,000. What that would do here in the States, you could probably multiply that by four or five times in its effect, because the labor is less and the necessary building material, far less expensive. But it's a big challenge. Would you make a gift to help us build that center during this last week? Father, I pray everyone watching will be an answer to that request. Take my children. Take my grandchildren. Jesus, we receive them. Would you enable the mission workers? Would you enable us to build that life center in Nepal to rescue as many as possible? We want to send you beautiful gifts to say thank you. Giselle has put women to work who were trafficked, making beautiful necklaces and learning other trades. We'll send you one of the necklaces to say thank you. You help us rescue one. We're sending Indivisible to focus your prayers and literally to give you, as one person who interviewed us said, this is body armor to win the battle we're in, literally for the soul and future of our nation. We'll send that to you to say thank you. The Lion and the Lamb bronze to say thank you for helping us build the Life Center. Would you go to the phone or go online, lifetoday.org? Make the gift God put on your heart. Thank you so much for doing it.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And we can also build the New Hope Life Center in Nepal, which will be a safe house for children for years to come. And now, a miracle opportunity of a $384,000 matching gift. With a cost of $128 to rescue a child, that means your gift of $128 will be matched to help rescue two children, and $64 will be matched to help rescue one more child. With your gift, please request Indivisible by James Robison and Jay Richards, a soul-stirring read for every Christian who desires to restore America to the values that formed our strong foundation, built on faith, family, and freedom. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you will receive a unique and beautiful necklace, handcrafted by women who were survivors of human trafficking and slavery. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000, which will be matched to $2,000 for the New Hope Life Center. And you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, I do pray that you'll help us in this last week with the Life Center. We need some very substantial gifts. And we're going to see that gift doubled. Whatever you can do, it'll be doubled. I do want to remind you the importance of the message, the truth that is so clearly presented that can restore that which is precious. We're going to send you Indivisible for the gift that you make to help us share the gift of life and love. And during this last week, I want you to remember, it's very important that we hear from you. Thanks so much for watching Life Today.
Victim of sexual trafficking tells her story of survival tomorrow.
If I never get out of here, in my mind I was thinking, how do I call my mom?
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.